Depression again, we get all of what you put into it, like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you? Let me find out there from the war court today. No more about it, they made all the running, that was it. Put the ball over the bar and the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts. There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Matt O'Callaghan, Matt, we were at the Gaelic Grounds last weekend for the hurling quarterfinals in the Limerick Senior Hurling Championship. And, you know, we had mentioned that this was going to be the acid test of the new format to see if the group teams, two teams would be competitive. Matt, it didn't turn out that way. Two lopsided games. You know, Limerick GAA have tried to rejig the situation to make it more equitable. You know, I think it's probably the least worst solution, if you will. I can't see what much more they can do. It's just a case of hoping that the standards are trying to help the standards grow in the Group 2 teams at the moment.
I agree with you, Raphael. You'd have to say it was very, very disappointing. I was among a group, or I suppose a smaller group, that thought that both Mourou Bóthair and South Liberties would put it up to Kilmallock and to Patrick's Well. And my rationale behind it, which I said in this medium last week, was that they were coming in on the back of four wins out of five, which, you know, must have done a lot for their confidence. And just looking at the new format, like, we were satisfied here last week when we were saying, like, right, stress test number one. It has passed it with flying colours, because in Group 2 you had four teams, two teams first of all, who won four games, and you had Monleen who won three games, and you had four teams in contention right up to the last day for the two quarterfinal spots. And then the next test and the next stress test of the new system was how would they fare on the back of a competitive series of games, on the back of a bit of momentum from winning games when they came into the quarterfinals. And sadly, we have to say that test failed. I suppose it failed as dismally as the first test failed, passed spectacularly. It was most disappointing, and I just don't know what the answer to it is. But I suppose, as you said there in your opening remarks, Raphael, I think it is the best, it probably is the best possible solution, because the reality of it is that we have four clubs, Pearcy, Kilmallock, Patrick's Well and Doon, who seem to be gone that much ahead or further ahead than the pack. And I know it's a challenge to the others to come up to that standard. But as we currently speak, those four clubs, and they're in the semi-finals, and they're in the semi-finals for the second year in a row, have gone on that extra step. And there seems now to be a gap between that four and possibly two or three teams, like maybe Adair and Ballybrown. And then again, you have a drop to Mourou Bóthair and South Liberties. Now, there will be further tests of the new system next year, and it's just one. This is just one year, and we're discussing it in isolation. But in terms of closing the gap, certainly the omens aren't good. Now, it'll be interesting to see how South Liberties perform in Group 1 next year. And on the converse of it, how Ballybrown will perform in Group 2. I think that will be the third test of it, because, like, if you're going down to come back up, going up to come back down, that doesn't serve any purpose either.
It certainly doesn't. Matt, just to recap on the two games, very, very lopsided. Patrick's Well having too much for South Liberties, and on the flip side, Kilmallock never really tested by Mourou Bóthair.
No, Kilmarnock weren't really tested, and as we did say during commentary, like that the game wasn't really, and it was no good to Mooroo Bóthair. Certainly, it was a huge disappointment, but not much value to Kilmarnock either. I'm sure that John Bruthen and his management team in Kilmarnock would have much preferred to a much sterner test going into this weekend's semi-final against Doon. Likewise, Patrickswell were very, very flat and very, very poor in their last two games of the group stages against Kilmarnock and against Napiershiig. But it's fair to say that they certainly stepped up. They stepped up considerably last Sunday, and there is a sense that there probably is another match or two in Patrickswell as they try to recapture the level of performance that they showed when they won the county 2 years ago.
Matt, we're now entering the semi-final stages, and I suppose those four elite clubs that you had mentioned there's nowhere for them to run and nowhere for them to hide on Sunday.
Of course, you know, that started last Sunday. Once you reach the knockout stage, there's no place to hide. There's no second chance. You just do it in the day, or it's bust. And we've two fascinating looking semi-finals on the menu for Sunday, because like these teams have met in the group stages. Patrickswell and Doon, which is the first game, they met in the group stages. There were 3 points between them. Napiershiig and Kilmarnock met in the group stages, and they drew. So if that is the type of form, and I'm a bit slow to attribute too much to that type of form during the group stage. Knockout hurling is a total different animal, and I suppose a totally different mindset for players. They're there. It's a one-off. Now you do it on the day, or you're gone. But the stage is nicely set up for what should be a very entertaining afternoon in the Gaelic grounds on Sunday. And I suppose looking at Patrickswell and Doon, I suppose Doon's best performance came in the fifth round when they beat Kilmallock, because they were beaten in the opening round by Napiershiig. They bounced back in round two and beat Patrickswell. They got a lucky draw with a Dare in round three. In round four, they won, but not impressively, against Ballybrown. And then in the final round, they seemed to keep the best wine for last, and that very, very strong performance against Kilmallock. The trick for Doon now is to put back-to-back performances together, and this is the real test. We all know that Doon are possibly a sleeping giant waiting to explode on the scene. They've never won the county championship. They've come near it all right, but they have never really got over the line. And you would have to say, with the underage structure there, and with the quality of players that they have on board, and with the leaders that they have on board, that this particular group of players in Doon probably represent the best chance they have of breaking that county title duck. It's going to be a massive game with Patrickswell. This is a game that will go right down to the wire, because with Patrickswell's great championship tradition, they certainly showed they showed some kind of form last week, which they hadn't shown in the previous games. A couple of the type of errors that they were making in those games, a lot of them were eliminated. They have rejigged their forces. And suddenly they are looking more like championship challengers than they were in the second half of the group stages.
Matt, tactically, I suppose, where do you think the key areas are for this game?
Well, I suppose Patrick Swell will look to the Patrick Swell have a lot of new players on the team, and we saw it there last week, and bedding into the team. But it will come down to the performance of the big guns, and I'm not talking strictly speaking about just the Dermot Burnses, Keane Lynch, Adam Gillan. It will look to that middle group of players like Matt Carmody, who was immense last week, Shawnee O'Brien, who had a very, very good game, and the like of Thomas O'Brien, Jack Kelleher, Kevin O'Brien, fellas like that that have that have that bit of experience to step up to the plate. Because you must remember, at one stage last Sunday, Patrick Swell had three minors on the pitch. Calvin Carroll, Josh Considine, who was excellent at cornerback, and he has been tried up in the forwards for Patrick Swell, and while he has done reasonably well up there, he seems far more comfortable as a defender. And Jason Gillan, who came on. So it will look to the big guns to provide the leadership for those. Now, on the other side, you will have Doon, you have Richie English, who was absolutely immense against Kilmallock. Of course, very, very important for Doon is, will Dara O'Donovan be playing? He did not play against Kilmallock. If he plays, it's a major boost to Doon with what he brings to the table. And of course, they have scoring power up front. Pat Ryan and Pat Ryan and Barry Murphy, and not to forget the contribution of Dean Coleman, who on his day is a very, very good forward, and who coincidentally in the group stages against Patrick Swell caused Patrick Swell all sorts of problems. So look, it will come down to the big men on both sides standing up to the players.
Matt, standing up to the plate is one thing, sitting on the fence is another. I'm going to get you to give me your prediction.
I'm predicting it's going to be very close, and I'm predicting that Doon will just about share it.
Moving on to the other one, Matt, the other semi-final, and these two had been, I suppose, mooted as being the kind of showpiece final for so long. Obviously, results dictated that couldn't happen following the pool stages, as we'll put it, but they're now stuck playing each other in a semi-final, and this promises to be an absolute cracker.
Absolute cracker, and if they're meeting in the group stages is anything to go by, it certainly should be. Now, Kilmallock will probably, they probably learned very little from the game against Maroochydore, but it will be a game. It will be a game, and it will stand to them. And it got the defeat against Doon out of their system and probably helped them to refocus. And if anything, the defeat by Doon may have been a wake-up call that they needed, because they were swanning into the semi-final up until then. Now they have to go the long route. But you're at the stage of the competition now, Raphael, where you have to beat what's put before you, and you have to beat everybody at this point. It's down to four. And when you come down to the semi-final stages, you don't expect any easy games. There's no gimmies when it comes to the semi-final. Now, the big question is, to what extent has Na Piercy reached their top form this year? I think it's generally agreed that they haven't hit top form yet, and there is a suspicion, probably, that they are timing their run for the concluding stages of the championship, because it was very, very clear early on in the group stages that barring the sky fell down, that Na Piercy were going through to the knockout stages of the competition. They have unfinished business. They have hurt from last year in that they lost the All-Ireland final, and they will want to be going get back there. They have a new management team who will want to put their stamp on it as well, and it has been a seamless transition from Shane O'Neill to Paul Beery and the management teams. This one, look, when these two meet, they have won 7 of the last 8 Limerick Senior Hurling Championships. Like, that tells you all what about these two teams. And it's a minefield to predict who will win when these square up, for the simple reason that form tends to go out the window. I honestly believe that this one will go right down to the wire again this time. Napiershik are favourites, and rightly so. And but Kilmallock will be unfazed by that. They like playing Napiershik, and they are able to play Napiershik. I think it's going to be very close. I think Napiershik will be favourites, but were Kilmallock to upset it, it wouldn't be a huge surprise.
Okay, that, I suppose that's as good, as close as a definitive decision as we're going to get from Mr. O'Callaghan on this fine morning. Matt, moving back to the football semi-finals, and we had, I suppose, I was following the Newcastle West and Ballylanders game on Twitter, and I was checking it and refreshing it and refreshing it, and I thought, geez, must be a massive wind out there in McNeville Park to see Ballylanders run into such a lead. And I thought, Newcastle West will come back. They'll come back. But fair play, Matt. Ballylanders stuck at it and managed to see out a victory when I don't think they were tipped by many people to get past Newcastle West.
Yeah, unfortunately, I missed the game due to a long-standing prior commitment. But I did say last week that I wouldn't be surprised if Ballylanders won it and are upset the odds. And I said that from my head rather than my heart. Let me say that, because I thought from the time that they played at Dare in round two, which they were very, very unlucky to lose inside in Cahardavon, and I said to myself that I came away that evening and I said that there was something good about this Ballylanders team, and they have been unbeaten since. Like they've won 4 games. They've now won 5. They had won 4 games going into that game with Newcastle West. And again, I spoke about Kilmallock like playing Napiershik. Ballylanders like playing Newcastle West, and they have a decent record against Newcastle West, notwithstanding the heavy defeat they received from Newcastle West in the group stages last year. And Ballylanders have a core of players. They have as many as 4 or 5, possibly even 6 players who go back to their championship winning team of 2007. Which is bringing a wealth of experience to that squad, plus many of the players who were part of the county winning team in 2014, and added to that, they have a couple of very, very exciting young footballers coming through now, and who this year in particular I thought stood up, standing up to the plate. And I'm talking about the like of Brian O'Connell, I'm talking about the like of Owen O'Mahony, Kieran Kelly, and these guys, young players, but now taking on leadership positions, and that was my rationale behind believing that Ballylanders could upset the odds against Newcastle West. And I have to say, and I stress again, it's my head that's saying this, because Ballylanders is my own club, but I am not surprised that they are in the final.
The other game, Monaleen and Adair. I suppose Monaleen kind of came from the backfield, really came from nowhere to kind of book their place into the knockouts. Overcame St. Kieran's and then found themselves facing into Adair. Adair coming out victorious there, Matt. It sets up a really good final, but I suppose Monaleen just kind of ran out of steam.
Yeah, I suppose I was out of that game, and 1-5 to 1-4 suggests a very poor game. In terms of football, it was far from that. It was a good game of football, a decent game of football, and Monaghan got a great start in that they got an early goal, but I suppose what we have become accustomed to with it there is this free-flowing open football which they're playing and which is hurting teams, and teams are finding it hard to counteract. But I think on this occasion, we saw a different side of what Adair have. When the pressure came on and when push came to shove, they responded to that early setback of a goal, and they soon after got a goal themselves. It was low scoring, and really for the first time that I have seen Adair's resilience and defensive qualities were tested, and I think they really stood up to the test.
Yep, certainly did, Matt. Of course, we'll be previewing that final next week, and there's also the football launches. Of course, the football launches are on tomorrow, on the weekend over in the Woodlands. So it'll be interesting to get the thoughts of the clubs as they head into a big week leading up to the football final.
Yes, all three football final launches are on Saturday morning. The senior final, Ballylanders and Adair, the intermediate final, Redkeel and Galbally, which is another mouth-watering contest, which is the curtain raiser to the senior final, and what a day it will be in Newcastle West on Sunday week. We can certainly say last man out in the Galties turn out the lights, because with Ballylanders and Galbally going down in strength to West Limerick. And of course, the stage is set now for the junior final, where Kildymo Palaskenry, and what a year it has been for the Kildymo Palaskenry club. They won a double in the South City Minor A Championships. They're through on at the first attempt, and their maiden year at Premier Intermediate level, they're through to the semi-final where they play Garry Spillane this weekend. And now their junior footballers are through to the county final, junior A footballers where they will play Cappamore. It is some season so far for Kildymo Palaskenry.
Yeah, it certainly is. Matt, big Camogie games on as well.
Yeah, two county finals on this weekend. As you know, 2 weeks ago we had the junior final where Newcastle West beat Temple Lanton. Now it's the turn of the intermediate finalists. It's Ballygran are playing Cricora in McNeville Park on Saturday evening at 6 p.m. And here Ballygran will who were relegated last year, will be looking to make a quick return to senior ranks for 2019. And they'll be facing a Cricora side who are appearing in a fourth intermediate final in a row, but have yet to get over the line. So that should be a fascinating contest. But a little aside to that, less than 24 hours later, at 2 o'clock on Sunday, the winners of Ballygran and Cricora will be out again in the Munster Championship, Munster semi-final against Dungarvan in Dungarvan. So look, I suppose there are certain things that we can be critical about, and we can talk about burnout and all this sort of thing, but surely to God, at this stage of the competition, we should not have the like of this happening. I don't know where the fall down has come or the breakdown has come, but like players asked to play a county final and a Munster semi-final in the space of what, 18 hours? I think that there is something wrong there. So look, let's hope for a good final on Saturday evening, and the best of luck to the winners on Sunday in Dungarvan. Then, of course, Sunday we have the big one. We have the senior final. Granny Ballingarry will take on a hand in Croke at 2 o'clock. Now, Granny Ballingarry, it's the third year in a row that these clubs have met in the county final. Granny Ballingarry are going to bidding to make it 6 in a row. And against the hand side, or a hand haven't won the county championship since 1976. So And another side to it, of course, is that Vera Sheehan, that stalwart from Granit Ballingarry, will be going for an incredible 19th Limerick Senior Camogie medal on Sunday. Whilst at the other end of the scale, the free-scoring Niamh Mulcahy, who has been to the fore so much, not just on the local stage, but on the national Camogie stage, will be seeking a first Limerick Senior medal. So it will be fascinating. Now, leading into the game, in the group stages, these sides met and Ahan had a comprehensive win. But in typical Granit Ballingarry, they were less than impressive during the group stages, and they seem to have this capacity year in, year out, and this is why they're going for a sixth in a row, to time their good run to perfection to the knockout stages of the competition. And the suspicion is that the same is this year. But certainly they can expect a real, real stern test from Ahan. And whether it will come up to the mark to take the trophy to Ahan for the first time in, 42 years? I'm not so sure. But certainly a fascinating final in Cork on Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Matt, one thing I meant to mention to you, Matt, and it was a topic that I suppose is very topical at the moment, and that is if you look at the amount of video footage that we're seeing lately of violence and fights in games, and you know, the majority of it from some of the Ulster counties. I know you kind of posed the question, was it always there, and it's only a case that there's more mobile phones to video it and capture it now, and I know that's true to an extent, but it doesn't look good for the game. I mean, if we saw people fighting like they were fighting up north inside in the stands at a soccer match, we'd call them soccer hooligans. But is there an acceptance of this within the GAA that, Asher, it's only a bit of this, and it's only a bit of, you know, handbags, it's grand? You know, I mean, we've even seen fights in the last few weeks where it spilled over into the crowd. So not something that we want to see develop.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to see it, and I honestly think that it's disturbing, and I think it's unfortunate that social media is open and is a platform for this sort of stuff to be used in it. I think it's most disappointing, and I would say like that there is no acceptance of any level of that type of violence, and the GAA should absolutely stamp it out, and not only stamp it out, but be seen to stamp it out, because like that got huge coverage and went all over the place, almost went viral. Some of the footages we have seen recently, and certainly does not show our games in a good light. But thankfully, you would have to say that for the most part, that they are isolated incidents. But one incident is one too many, and I think you're right. Absolutely, it doesn't show the sport. It doesn't show the sport and our games in a good light, and in the light in which we would like to see them in.
And of course, Matt O'Callaghan, we should also tell our listeners that we have the double bill of the hurling semi-finals live on SportingLimerick.com and on our YouTube channel. And you, of course, will be joined by the inimitable Kieran Carey. Kieran made his commentary debut with us, Matt, and he's taken to it like a duck to water.
Oh yeah, he's as good at it as he was at hurling. Look, Kieran Carey knows the game of hurling, and it's a pleasure to be working with him on the presentation of those games. We're really looking forward to it on Sunday. As I said, the screening last weekend, whilst it went well from a technical and presentation point of view and all that sort of thing, unfortunately the fair that was being covered, there was nothing we could do about that, but I'm sure that it will be made up for this weekend.